You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation. Not sure if you have snow where you're at, but in the Pittsburgh area, southwestern Pennsylvania, where the Pharmacy Podcast Network studios is, we are getting snow. We are getting lots of snow. We had about 8 inches about a week ago, and today we picked up an additional 6 inches. So it's been one of those mornings where your children's schools are delayed and your daycare is delayed and your dogs don't know what's going on and people are running around on the road crazy. So for you Southern people, just like my family, who all lives in Eastern Florida, who aren't experiencing this, you have to feel sorry for us Northerners. And Chloe Givens, Dr. Chloe Givens, are you experiencing any snow this morning?
Sadly, we are not having any snow here, but we were supposed to get some, but that is just this bipolar Tennessee weather. You never really know what to expect.
That's a good way of putting it. The consistency of Pittsburgh's weather is inconsistency. So I agree with the term bipolar. Welcome, Dr. Chloe Givens. I am excited to have you on the show today. We have a special interview. Just want to let the listeners know, Dr. Givens is our director of strategy and content development. Really digs into many of the facets of audio and the expansion of audio as a supplement to your learning, and kicked out the very first NAPLEX-oriented podcast and helping P4s to prepare for the NAPLEX exam and how important that is. But Chloe, we've been so excited to be working with you.
Thank you so much, Todd. And it has been such a pleasure to come on to the Pharmacy Podcast Network team. And I am just so excited for what we are going to continue to create together.
Absolutely. So we have a special episode today, and it's bringing us back to the commitment that we made to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation about 3 years ago, when we said that we wanted to reach out to the pharmaceutical manufacturer sector of our healthcare industry. It's so important to really bring in more thought leaders in that space to talk directly to our pharmacists in any of the facets of pharmacy care that we have, community, health system, hospital, long-term care, specialty pharmacy, which is exploding, and even the compounding sector. So today, based on an interesting lead that was given to us by the Finn Partners team, who we absolutely love working with, we have an opportunity to interview Red Hill Biopharma, and that is upcoming in just a little bit on the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. Hey there, welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast. We have an interesting interview today with Mr. Guy Goldberg with Red Hill Biopharma. And with me today is also Dr. Chloe Givens. Hey, welcome to the show, Guy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
So I received a message from our team at Finn Partners, who we do work with and coverage with. They bring us some of the most interesting stories. And we received a message about Red Hill Biopharma. And the announcement was that the FDA had cleared the company's investigational new drug IND application for a phase 2 out of 3 study evaluation. And I'm not even sure what that means because I am not a pharmacist. Why do you think I have Dr. Givens here with us? But regardless, before we get into that and unpack that, Guy, give us a short background of yourself, the role that you play with Red Hill Biopharma.
Sure. Hello, everybody. My name is Guy Goldberg. I'm the chief business officer here at Red Hill, based in Tel Aviv. So you were talking about the snow. Here in the Middle East, it's mid-70s. So, but on the other hand, during August, it's quite hot here. So we balance it out. So I'm based here in Tel Aviv. Red Hill is a U.S. company. We have a global headquarters here in Tel Aviv, but most of our operations, most of our activity is based in the U.S., headquartered in Raleigh, North Carolina. And what we do is we develop drugs targeting unmet medical needs in the area of gastrointestinal disease and infectious disease. My role as a chief business officer is a little bit of everything, helping out from everything from telling the story, speaking to investors, to working in finance and business development and clinical development, just a little bit of everything. We have dedicated team members in all these key functions, and I jump around a bit from area to area.
So open us up with a little bit on this RHB-107. Tell us a little bit about that and how it plays into assisting our healthcare providers throughout the world with regards to this pandemic that we're experiencing.
Thank you for the question. So we have at Red Hill two products that we're working on to try to help with the COVID pandemic, both of them addressing a little bit different areas of the disease. So the RHB-107 or upamostat is the one you referred to. So this is a first-in-class, orally administered serine protease. And it's an inhibitor of serine proteases. We're very excited about this drug because it's targeted to the population of mild to moderate patients who have COVID-19 disease. And very importantly, it works on the host cell membranes. And the reason that's important is that it potentially is not affected by the various strains that we hear about that are putting into question the efficacy of the different drugs that are used as well as possibly the vaccines. So as you stated, FDA cleared our IND application in November, and we're very excited to get this study going, a phase 2-3 study. This is a drug that has had exposure to over 200 patients in other indications. So we have a pretty good record as to the safety and the tolerability profile. And in addition, we have preclinical data. So we actually tested this drug in a COVID-19 preclinical model, and it showed very nice potent antiviral activity, including dose-dependent activity, which is important when you want to see that with the drug. And we did it, importantly, without significantly compromising the cell viability. So we know it wasn't just we were wiping out everything in the way, but we were able to really target this antiviral activity and keep the cell intact. So that's very exciting, the first product that we're working on. The other that we're working on, and the other one is more advanced, is a drug called opaganib. And this one is very exciting for us for a number of reasons. The first is this one has a dual mechanism of action. So it has both an antiviral and an anti-inflammatory mechanism of action. So it really sets us apart from some of the other products that are in development and even those who have emergency use authorization. Number two is this is an oral pill. So a lot of the pharmacists out there might be familiar with some of the challenges of the current drugs that are approved for emergency use authorization and the need to do infusions that take time and are cumbersome. This is an oral pill, which makes it a very important delivery mechanism. Number three, just like with our other product, this one works on the host and therefore potentially overcomes all the problems of the mutations. We think we should be able to work even with the mutations that you see, people talking about the South African mutations, the British mutations, the fact that this could be the number one new challenge for the COVID-19 epidemic in the United States. And most importantly, we have data. So not just preclinical data, where we're able to show complete viral complete inhibition of viral replication, but also human clinical data. So we completed a phase 2 study, and we just announced the results of the phase 2 study in the end of December. And the data was very exciting for us. We were able to show improvement in the proportion of patients reaching room air and no longer requiring oxygen support by day 14. So just as a background, this opaganib is a drug for patients who are hospitalized and require oxygen support but are not yet intubated. So this is a very serious patient population where there are no good treatments available. We were able to show improvement in the proportion of patients reaching room air, in other words, those no longer requiring oxygen support, and we're able to show improvement in the proportion of patients who were able to be discharged by day 14. So two very important markers that show efficacy. This was a smaller patient population, about 40 patients, but very important improvement. And the one that we hope will be validated in our current global study that we're doing, a phase 2-3 study that we're currently in the middle of. So very exciting time for the company with two very promising drugs for COVID-19.
So back up for a second, Dr. Chloe, I want to kind of bring you into this conversation about mutation. And this is very interesting because I've read about this. We have COVID-19. It has a very specific identifier. Part of SARS evolved, obviously new. It's the why that we're in the pandemic that we're in. What happens to a body when you get your vaccine? You get your vaccine number one, you get your vaccine number two as it stands today. And then now we have exposure to this new mutated version of COVID-19. Can you kind of unpack that a little bit?
Absolutely. So when a person is vaccinated against any type of viral infection, their body is going to naturally start to develop antibodies. So just like with anything in nature, there are going to be external factors that are going to cause viruses to slowly mutate. And so that is why, just like with our annual flu, we always see different strains coming into the environment every single year. So that's why you always see new flu vaccines being introduced that are targeting that specific strain and that specific mutation for that virus. So just like with the flu, COVID-19 is also a similar type of virus that is showing mutations. So even though we do have our population getting vaccinated now, there are still going to be mutations of that virus. So I will be interested to see if we are going to have new doses of the vaccine being released once we see those mutations coming into the population.
So how does this combine and or accelerate and or protect our patients, Guy, us as a culture, us as a society, in moving forward? It seems like there's so many moving parts to the change of the virus and how Red Hill is kind of keeping up with that, especially with the development of the drug that you just described.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think Chloe described the situation very well, that we don't know yet what the effect will be of these strains, the South African strain, the UK strain. There's been some evidence indicating that the vaccine-induced neutralizing titers are reduced versus South African strain, and there's some evidence also that the antibodies that are used on the treatment side don't neutralize versus some of the strains. But the evidence is very early, and we don't know. So where that puts us is as a society. People, public health officials, really, and infectious disease experts are talking about the very high likelihood that COVID-19 will become an endemic disease, meaning it's just going to be something that we're going to have to live with. I think even the CEO of Moderna, which is the vaccine company, has warned that the virus is going to be around forever because of these mutations and because of how widespread it's based, which means that even with the success of the vaccines, and the vaccines are a wonderful thing. I've been vaccinated, and I hope as many people get vaccinated as possible. But we're still looking at dealing with a very dangerous virus, and there's a need for treatments to be developed that will be an important part of dealing with this whole pandemic situation. So opaganib, in the case of Red Hill, how we're approaching it, the thing that it does that makes it, I think, very unique is that it works on the host. So it doesn't work specifically on the virus itself. And what that means is that it casts a wider net in terms of being able to deal with the virus. And because of that, we're cautiously optimistic that it will be able to overcome various mutations that we're seeing and probably will see in the future that could be very problematic. So that's our approach, and we're excited to have a drug that works in the way that it does.
Where are you in timing, Guy, with opaganib, with regards to it being at full release throughout the world?
Yes. So we've completed a phase two study in the United States. We just announced that data. We had positive top line safety and efficacy data in the end of December. In parallel, we are conducting a global phase two, three study. So this is a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled study. And that's very important because sometimes you'll hear of drugs that worked here, that worked there. It's very important to go and actually read what that means. Was it a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled study? Because that really is the gold standard for proving that a drug works. So that's what we're doing. It's very unique in that not many companies have gotten to the stage that we are of being in the middle of such a study. We're enrolling approximately 460 subjects in several different countries around the world. So everywhere from Italy, the UK, Russia, Israel, Mexico, Brazil, with further expansion ongoing, hopefully in the US as well. Very importantly, we've had three DSMB, this is sort of the Data and Safety Monitoring Board, reviews the unblinded data throughout the course of the study. They review for various purposes, and we've had three such reviews. All of them have recommended to continue the study, either for safety or futility analysis. So very exciting and promising study that's ongoing. Where we are with it is that we are hoping to get top line data from this global phase two, three study in the second quarter. So we're talking about just a few short months from now. And we're hoping that this study will be enough for a potential emergency use applications, not just in the US, but globally. And if we're able to do that, we're talking about really sometime next quarter being able to make this drug available to patients.
Very good. So I think of, I like having different perspectives because, Guy, you're submerged in this with regards to your position with Red Hill. Chloe, you're here as a pharmacist because you understand application as well as questions that you're probably getting from patients and consumers. I sit here as the consumer. So I'm constantly thinking about efficacy. I'm thinking about how often I'm going to need something like this. I'm thinking about the new world that we live in that I think we have to be cognizant of aspects of our healthcare system, as well as what this pandemic has changed, but not to be fearful in moving forward and having confidence in our scientists, in our physicians, obviously in our pharmacists. I want to know more about really the future. And Chloe, I wanted to kind of open things up to you. Do you or have you heard of follow-up medications or drugs being developed? There's one that we'd like to ask Guy about that you actually pinged me last night about. Can you talk to him about that next medication that you and I had talked about?
So Todd, I am actually curious. There are some newer vaccines that are in the pipeline, it seems like, specifically one called Valneva. So I'm just curious how the drugs that are in development from Red Hill Biopharma and some of these newer vaccines that are potentially going to be introduced into the public, how those are going to work together in our fight against COVID-19.
Yeah, thank you for the question. So, you know, there's definitely the front runners of vaccines that have already are already in use, and there's we see a second generation of vaccines that are still in development. The front runners obviously have had an enormous impact, and hopefully will have a large impact on the course of this pandemic. A lot of people are concerned that with time, or maybe even now, there will be strains and the vaccines will be less effective. For example, there's concern with the South African strain, whether the vaccines titers are reduced because of those strains. So the need for new vaccines will, I think, continue to be there, whether it's Valneva or many of the others that are out there. They're using different approaches, not just the mRNA approaches that have so far been approved from Pfizer and from Moderna. I think regardless of the vaccines, the treatment side, the treatment aspect will continue to be very important. People still don't know. We still don't know the durability of any of these vaccines. That's a big, big question. You know, how long do they work? We still don't know whether the vaccines stop the virus or they just stop the symptoms. Can the virus spread through people who have been vaccinated? That's a very important question, especially if you talk about large populations as of now, such as children and those who aren't not able to take the vaccines, not being vaccinated. That's very important. We don't know whether the vaccines, how well they work, will work in the older populations or at-risk populations. And of course, the issue of mutations. There was somebody who's on the board of trustees here in Israel, at the University of Haifa, who said a vaccine will never be effective 100% of the time, will never be 100% safe, and will never be available to 100% of the people. And I think the need for treatments will be very acute, even with all the advances that we're seeing on the vaccine side of things.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because it is very true that a vaccine is never going to be 100% effective. And I think that a lot of times just kind of the general population maybe forgets that. So I do think that it's really amazing that Red Hill is developing these new drugs that can be used for treatment, specifically opaganib, and just its mechanism of action. It's just very interesting to me how it works, and even the fact that it has shown some anti-cancer activity and inflammatory, and can also potentially be used for other gastrointestinal indications. So I just think that that's really amazing that that is in the pipeline and potentially going to be introduced soon.
Thank you. You know, we were lucky with this drug. We when we brought it in, we were exactly as you were pointing out, we were developing it in oncology, and we were also looking to develop it because of the anti-inflammatory mechanism of action in various GI indications. And when the COVID epidemic about a year ago started spreading, we looked back at some of the previous work that had been done preclinically, and we were just amazed at how strong that the preclinical data was on antiviral activity, and as well as just broad anti-inflammatory activity in several different models for both of them. And that's what gave us the confidence to move forward and develop it and get the preclinical data and get these clinical studies underway. And so far, the different pieces of the puzzle are fitting together. We've even made the drug available on a compassionate use basis here in Israel with some promising results. There's the clinical study that I mentioned, and there's the preclinical data in a COVID model that have all been supportive. So now we're waiting for this important phase 2-3 study, and hopefully this is the last big piece of the puzzle that we can then put as a package and submit to FDA. So very exciting times for us, and hopefully we'll be able to make an impact with this terrible pandemic.
That's exciting, because I like our listeners, I like the pharmacists who are tuning in regularly to understand that there's other things happening in this pandemic, and what can be a game changer is a combination. I don't think there is ever one medication that is the silver bullet. I believe that it is a combination based on the diverseness of our entire population, and it takes organizations to keep working like Red Hill Biopharma to continue to develop that next phase to keep up with the changing viruses, to keep up with this pandemic. So this has been an absolute treat for us, and welcome Red Hill Biopharma to really give us all of, you know, the information that you have that's publicly available in the development and research and development and how this impacts us as a society. And we're having challenges with the rollout of the vaccine right now. We're in a state of pause and waiting for more vaccine to be coming from Moderna and Pfizer. But having other organizations back this up, just like you said, Guy, this is not the end of our challenges in the space of viruses, of even some of the pandemics. We have to learn to live with it. We have to learn to, once again, trust our scientists and developers of medications to ensure mass safety as much as possible. But do you have anything that you can tell us of what's coming in the future from your team, from Red Hill Biopharma, and what you see coming down the pike, as well as messaging specifically for pharmacists that you'd like to call out to?
Yes. Well, thanks. And the important thing for our drugs I'll talk about opaganib and then also our commercial drugs. So your listeners can have a full picture of the company and what we're doing. On the opaganib and the COVID side of things, I think from a pharmacist perspective, some of them may be familiar with remdesivir, convalescent plasma, Lilly's product, Regeneron's product. These are all products with complex logistics, requiring preparation time, requiring long infusions, requiring monitoring. The exciting thing about opaganib and upamostat are they're both oral pills. So hopefully that will help your listeners make their lives easier if our product is given emergency use authorization. And when we think it will make these treatments available to a much broader population and much more manageable. So we're very excited about that from the pharmacist perspective, the ease of use. From the company perspective, just so your listeners have a broader sense of who we are and who's the company behind these products. So we're Red Hill is a fully integrated company. We have different products in development. We also have three products that we are promoting that are FDA approved. This includes Movantik, which is a market-leading treatment for opioid-induced constipation. So the opioid therapy that many people are on for moderate to severe chronic pain, the number one side effect is constipation. And Movantik is part of the Pomora class of drugs the Movantik was launched from AstraZeneca. We took over the product, and it's a really great product helping patients with this important side effect of opioid therapy. The second product that we promote is Talicia, which is treatment for H. pylori infection. It's the first new treatment for H. pylori infection in over a decade. This is a very large unmet medical need. There are 2 million people who are treated for this infection every year. And this is one where the problem of resistance is very serious, similar to COVID. The problem of resistance to current standard of care is a very big problem for H. pylori treatment, and it's been identified as such by both the WHO and the FDA. So we have the first new treatment, and we just launched this product just a few months ago. So it's one your listeners may come across. We're very excited about this product. It's great efficacy, overcomes resistance issue, a very clean safety and intolerability profile. And the third product that we're promoting is Amcolo. It's a new treatment for traveler's diarrhea. There hasn't been much traveling post-COVID, but pre-COVID, 60 million Americans traveled to medium to high-risk regions for traveler's diarrhea. It's a number one health issue for people who travel abroad. And we have a new minimally absorbed antibiotic with a targeted delivery system. And when travel comes back, I think this is one that will also be very much an important drug in this disease. So those are our three commercial products. So we have a small company. Maybe not many of your listeners would have heard of us, but a lot of products on the market, important products addressing unmet medical needs, and then many other things in our pipeline that we hope will be available to patients sometime in the future that will make their lives better.
Thank you, Guy. In the show notes for our listeners, we are going to have links to two different news releases that talk about what we discussed on the podcast episode today. We'll also include, Guy, your LinkedIn profile so that pharmacists can connect with you. And also Dr. Chloe Givens' information will be there. Guy, this has been an honor to be able to interview you on this. We want to invite you back and your team back really to dig into disease state focus that you have as an organization as Red Hill Biopharma continues to develop different pharmaceutical products, because that is where I've always, as a consumer, looked at the markets and said, we need more communications between the manufacturers and our pharmacists who lead our efforts in medication management and medication safety. So, Guy, this has been an absolute treat, and I thank you for being part of this discussion.
Thank you. I very much enjoyed it as well, and happy to return anytime you guys want to talk again.
Absolutely. And Chloe, thank you so much for being available today. I know that was short notice.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure to be here and to be able to join in on this conversation, because I do think that everything that Red Hill Biopharma is in the process of creating is really important. And I'm just so intrigued by their new drug, opaganib, and just how it has shown to work in the preclinical model and just the different little aspects of its mechanism of action and how it can just really help with easing this pandemic and really helping those who have COVID-19.
Absolutely. We have audience members who chime in often and talk about the opioid epidemic. There's a medication that the Red Hill Biopharma team works on in opioid-induced constipation. You also have one focused on Crohn's disease, also a bowel cleanser, and oncology indications and COVID-19. So I think there's lots that we could continue to talk about, Guy. If you're listening today and you want to access more information, please find Red Hill Biopharma at redhillbio.com. Once again, that's redhillbio.com. And as always, I thank you so much for what you do as pharmacists and leading healthcare and being frontline providers. If you need anything, please reach out to the Pharmacy Podcast team. We have 32 hosts that are dedicated to pushing additional information out in audio for our pharmacy and pharmacist professionals. And we're excited to do this. Excited to have Dr. Chloe on our team, as well as Finn Partners helping us to develop stories and develop discussions that really make sense. And with that, I thank you so much for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.